Mountain Dew drinkers. It's the Mountain Dew Baja Blast 20th Bajaversary. 20 years of Baja Blast being a Taco Bell fan favorite. To celebrate this year, the tropical lime flavor of Baja Blast is in stores everywhere all year long. 366 days. That's right, it's a leap year. And for a limited time, you can collect coins for a chance to get Baja gear or a Taco Bell deal. The Mountain Dew Baja Blast 20th Bajaversary.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of U.S. 18 plus, subject to official rules at BajaBlast.com and 615-24. Void where prohibited.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, Dee. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From New York City, the only city in America, it's the show that invented news. This is The Daily Show with your host, Charlamagne Tha God.
By the name of Charlamagne Tha God. Hello. That's right. I'm back for another week of guest hosting. When I left 3 weeks ago, I said I'd never come back to host as long as Henry Kissinger was alive. And so here I am. We've got a great show for you tonight. Let's get into the headlines. Now, let's talk about jobs. The thing everybody hates going to until you lose it. Last week, the number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits rose to its highest level in 2 years, and there's nothing funny about people losing their jobs, unless it's this guy.
In a historic vote, the House expelling Congressman George Santos. He's the first House member removed from the chamber in more than two decades, the first to not be convicted of a crime in 50 years or so.
The George Santos saga is officially over. 311 members voted to remove Santos, 105 of them Republicans.
George Santos began putting on his coat even as the vote to expel him was still underway.
Within hours of his House colleagues voting to make him just the sixth member in history expelled from office, crews were changing the locks on his Washington office doors.
Damn, they wasn't playing with him at all. They weren't taking no chances, right? They changed the locks immediately. Though I'm not sure that'll do anything. This guy stole money from a sick service dog. You think he wouldn't crawl through an air vent? Huh? But yeah, that, my friends, is the end of former Congressman George Santos. And he knew it was coming, too. He put on his coat before the vote was even over. Well, let me correct myself. He put on a coat. For all we know, there's another congressman like, somebody stole my coat. Now, look, this might be unpopular, but I don't think George Santos should have been expelled. Mm-mm. For two reasons. One, we were all safer when we knew where this dude was, okay? Now he could be anywhere. He could be at Nordstrom using your credit card right now. But more importantly, I don't think Congress should come before the court. You shouldn't be able to kick someone out for crimes they haven't been actually convicted of yet. And I tell you why. To get convicted in a court, it takes 12 ordinary citizens to judge you. And I trust 12 randos off the street way more than 435 Congress people. Because when you really think about it, he just got fired by his coworkers. I don't know if you want to set that precedent. Imagine if all our coworkers could vote on whether we should have a job. We'd all be unemployed. And look, I think it's very important to acknowledge a large part of why he was kicked out is that he's gay. Republicans don't f- with that gay shit. Don't get quiet now, okay? He could never be a full part of that club. Yes, he was a scam artist who stole and lied, but Republicans are ride or die with all kinds of liars and crooks. I'm just saying, look at their track record. If you're LGBT, they'll make you GTFO. GTFO plus, okay? Now, let's move on to another group of scammers who got caught scamming. If you remember back in 2019, a bunch of rich parents and celebrities got busted for faking their kids' college admissions. Yeah. And one of those celebrities was actress Felicity Huffman, who white people know from Desperate Housewives, and who black people, we simply don't know. Well, Felicity did her time, and now she's back on the streets to clear her name.
This morning, Felicity Huffman is explaining publicly for the first time why she felt the need to break the law to get her daughter into college.
It felt like I had to give my daughter a chance at a future. And so it was sort of like my daughter's future, which meant I had to break the law. And I know hindsight is 20/20, but it felt like I would be a bad mother if I didn't do it.
The Oscar nominee paid $15,000 for someone to falsify the results of her daughter's SAT exam.
She says in this that when the whole incident went down, she actually didn't even think it was real. Take a listen to her here.
They woke my daughters up at gunpoint. Again, nothing new to the black and brown community.
Damn, man. The poor woman is trying so hard not to be racist that she ends up sounding racist. Nothing new to the black and brown community. They wake up with a gun in their face every day. As if that's what we do for alarm clocks. Five more minutes, officer. I had a late night. White guilt is crazy, man. Imagine a gun is pointed at your daughter and your first thought is Black Lives Matter. Like, why are you even bringing black people into this? Are you trying to get your daughter into Howard or something? Like, Felicity really needs to stop doing press about this because it makes her daughter look more and more like the dumbest mother on planet Earth, all right? She's out here going, I know it was wrong, but I truly had no choice. How else could I help my incredibly dumb daughter, who, if I haven't mentioned it yet, is so stupid. I am only as guilty as she is dumb, which is to say, extremely guilty. By the way, did y'all notice that her husband, William H. Macy, is not involved in this scandal at all? He's the dad, and he doesn't show up in the story ever. Police probably didn't even wake him up when they raided the bedroom. Don't worry, Mr. H. Macy, this doesn't concern you. Go back to sleep. Shh. It just goes to show you sometimes it pays to be a checked out father. Again, nothing new to the black and brown community. I'm black, I can say that, okay? And finally, we are less than 1 year away from the final presidential election in American history. And we all know it's gonna be a choice between Donald Trump, Joe Biden, or hanging yourself in the voting booth. But there are some voters who wouldn't mind other options, and a special event on Fox News last week gave us an idea of what that might look like. On one side, Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, and guy who just wrestled a foul ball from a child. On the other side, Gavin Newsom, governor of California, and the villain in a Muppet movie. And here's how it went.
A fiery face-off between two top governors with presidential overtones. Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis taking on California's Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom. The governors clashed over border security. Newsom criticizing DeSantis's controversial move last year, sending migrants to Martha's Vineyard.
You're trolling folks and trying to find migrants to play political games, try to get some news and attention so you can out-Trump Trump. And by the way, how's that going for you, Ron? You're down 41 points in your own home state.
This is a map of San Francisco. There's a lot of plots on that. You may be asking, what is that plotting? Well, this is an app where they plot the human feces that are found on the streets of San Francisco. And you see how almost the whole thing is covered.
Now, Ron's not wrong. If you've been to San Francisco lately, I'm sure you've noticed a lot of shit on the streets. And obviously, he's going to keep track of it because he doesn't want to get any on his high heels. But is this really a smart campaign move for DeSantis? He's like, America can't have a crazy old man as president. It should be me, a totally sane man who carries around maps of shit in his pocket. For more on the debate between Newsom and DeSantis, let's turn live to D.C. with Ronnie Chang. This broadcast got huge ratings for Fox News, but does it justify having this kind of debate?
Oh, yeah, this debate was great, Charlamagne. We got to hear from the guy who's not going to be president and the other guy who's not going to be president. I mean, this was a bigger waste of airtime than softcore porn, right? Who doesn't know about regular hardcore porn? These debates are just a bunch of desperate people having meaningless fights. And it's a cheap rating stunt, and quite frankly, America deserves better.
That's interesting, Ronnie. Are debates a cheap rating stunt? That's the subject of tonight's debate. Let's bring in Desi Lydic. Desi, your thoughts. You have 60 seconds.
Wait, what the is going on?
Thanks for having me tonight, Charlamagne. As the daughter of a father, I believe this country runs on televised debates. Times like this, I think of my friend Rita, the daughter of a mother who works the night shift as a lunch lady in the cornfields. She cries herself to sleep every night thinking about Ronnie Chang. America, we can do better.
Thank you, Desi. Ronnie, your response.
Who the f*** is Rita? What is going on? How did I get on a debate stage? Guys, I'm not participating in a stupid debate about a debate.
That's debatable. Look, don't just take my word for it. Let's look at the numbers, Charlamagne. This is a map of all the places in New York City where Ronnie Chang has pooped. As you can see, it's alarming.
Okay, I have IBS. So what? This is not your business, okay? Again, I'm not debating here, but if I was, this is just a cheap stunt.
I guess Ronnie doesn't want America to know the truth. I urge all voters to visit RonnieDumps.com and see for yourself.
Who cares where I pooped?
Well, call me a constitutionalist, but I think the American people have the right to know that you pooped three times at the 9/11 memorial.
That seems high, Ronnie. Anything you want to say about that?
I didn't poop three times, okay? One was a false alarm. And stop, this is stupid. I have two random people arguing about this.
You know what, Ronnie? I agree with you. You're absolutely right. We should bring in a third opinion. Welcome to the stage, Michael Costa. Michael, as an independent correspondent, your thoughts?
Wait, we do not need Michael to step in here.
Well, of course Ronnie doesn't think so. In his world, there's only room for two sides in this debate. And look, maybe I don't fit the establishment mold. You know, 90% of my donations are $5 bills that I take from tip jars at coffee shops. But I still deserve to be taken seriously in this debate. But instead, my voice is marginalized by the powers that be. Again, nothing new to the black and brown community.
Costa wins. I want to thank everyone for debating tonight. Desi, Ronnie, and Michael Costa. When we come back, I'll ask you what your favorite music of the year was, so don't go anywhere.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Today. Daily Show. If you listen to music on Spotify, you know that last week they dropped their Spotify Wrapped, where everyone found out what music they listened to the most. So I hit the streets to find out who listened to what, and then I judged them for it. Check it out. All right, it's that time of year where everybody judges everybody for what's on their Spotify rap playlist. So let's talk to some people here in New York and see what's on their Spotify rap playlist, okay? Would y'all say y'all have good taste in music?
I think so.
So yeah.
Do you think your Spotify rap playlist reflects that?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't look too confident. On the count of three, right? I want y'all to point at your friend and I want you to say who you think is the number one artist on your Spotify rap. One, two, three.
Beyonce!
All right, I'm covering my eyes because one of y'all are going to hand me your phone and I'm going to guess who gave you the phone based on what your Spotify rap playlist looks like, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right. SZA, Billie Eilish, Dominique Fike, Frank Ocean, and Taylor Swift. It's a lot of mayonnaise on this playlist, guys. You're a Swiftie. You.
Yes.
It's you.
Yes.
It's
She's
you.
Never made it on my top artist either. This is the first time this year.
She's had a great year.
She has.
She's had a
she
big
has.
Year.
Yeah.
Who you got? Who you got? Who you got? Beyonce. Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
Miley Cyrus?
Her last two albums have been excellent.
Coldplay. Who's that?
It's a score. It's like a music composer.
Ludwig Göransson?
He's very cool.
Really?
Yeah. Hans like Zimmer recommends him as well. Yeah.
Who the hell is Palm Zimmer? Do you think it's okay to judge people based on their race?
No.
I'm not rocking with that.
Do you think it's okay to judge people based on their race?
No. Oh, no.
No.
I rephrased it.
Do you think it's okay to judge people based on their sex?
Like gender? No.
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 What about this Spotify rap playlist?
Yeah.
Yo,
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not even a question.
How do y'all get so judgmental when it comes to that?
I think it's very telling of lifestyle, interests, hobbies.
There are so many people that are, they say they're listening to one artist and then their rap comes out and Taylor Swift is number one. I'll tell you that.
Are you upset that they like Taylor Swift or just that they lied about liking Taylor Swift?
Maybe both.
Yeah.
I'm not upset about it.
Yeah.
I'll listen.
I value honesty. Mm.
Okay. Okay. What's the last thing you saw on somebody's playlist that made you go, ew?
Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Heavy metal music. Like, nothing against it, but it's just not something personally I'm into, so
it's a little too hardcore for me.
Does it make you feel like they might worship the devil?
I mean, I hope not, but, no.
Not that
to
far.
Easter?
No, not to Easter. We don't have to be that inclusive.
Well, anyone who just, like, needs to post it on the story, like, anyone who needs to tell you.
Maybe country music for me.
Yeah, Taylor Swift on your playlist.
I'm not really country.
You think you logged a lot of minutes on your Spotify?
Let
me see what you got. 31,655.
Decent.
That's decent.
It's whatever.
Yeah. You think you needed like a hobby or something? You think you might be?
It
I just
is.
Thought.
Minutes. Listen, 61,000.
Oh Christ.
I produce and everything.
Oh, so that makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. You're studying your craft.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah,
if you weren't, I'd tell you get a girlfriend or something.
That's crazy.
Well, I had.
Are you? Do you guys have girlfriends right now? Do you guys
really
have relationships?
Yeah.
They're no better than me. They're no better than me.
Don't start. We have each other.
And you've got over 66,000 minutes listened of R&B?
Yeah.
How much sex are you having?
Yeah.
So would you ever ghost or dump somebody because of what's on their Spotify rap playlist?
I would dump them if they didn't have one because they're using Apple Music.
Wow. Damn, it's like that?
What about your rap?
I don't have Spotify.
Oh, my God.
Apple and Tidal.
I respect the Tidal, but definitely not the Apple. I don't know about that.
When we come back, author S.A. Cosby will be joining me on the show, so don't go anywhere.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is the award-winning and best-selling author from Southeast Virginia. His latest hit thriller is All the Sinners Bleed, and the Audible original Broke Down Prophets. Please welcome S.A. Cosby.
My brother.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, bro.
How you feeling, sir?
Crazy. It's been a crazy year, so.
Okay.
Feels surreal, man.
It's been a great year for you. All the Sinners Bleed made the Washington Post Best Thrillers of 2023 list and the New York Times Best Crime Novels of 2023. And Barack Obama said you're one of his favorite authors. How did that feel?
You know what's funny? It feels like one of those things where it's like a dream, and you're like, please don't pinch me. Don't nobody wake me up. Yeah. And, you know, at least I got my pants on, because a lot of dreams I don't, so.
All right. Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm by myself with that. I mean.
They might not know if you got pants on now. Stephen King reviewed All the Sinners Bleed for the New York Times. He wrote, Cosby keeps his eye on the story and the pedal to the metal. You know, what's it like getting a positive review from Stephen King?
Oh, man, it's the craziest thing, man. You know, I grew up in Southeast Virginia, really poor. I never could afford to buy Stephen King books, so I'd always go to the library and read them and, like, be transported to this other world that he's creating. And, like, for him to say that about me, it's the best thing ever. I mean, it's like, there's not a... Yeah.
What I like, though, man, I like your story of how you just kept it going because, you know, 4 critically acclaimed novels in just 5 years, but your first novel was rejected 63 times.
Yeah, that sucks.
When did you... Why were you keeping count? 63 times?
Spite.
What made you keep going?
You know, I just felt like I had this thing inside me. I had to do it. I had to tell a story. My mother, she's passed away, but she used to say when I would get down, she's like, you know, birds got to sing, bees got to sting, you got to write.
So you just that's how I know you from the country. I know you were great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Down on scrapple and bacon and pig feet, so.
There you go. And that's what I like about your books, too. Like, you know, a lot of your protagonists are African-American men in rural Virginia. You know what I'm saying? Not the typical, you know, characters you see in national best-selling thrillers. Was it hard to find publishers? Did they not understand the world that we come from? Because I'm from South Carolina.
Yes. Yeah. It was very difficult to find books. I had a publisher tell me that my books weren't black enough. Because they weren't set in, like, Philly or New Jersey or New York. And I was like, but I'm pretty black. I mean, you know.
There's nothing blacker than the South.
Exactly.
The heart and soul of black America.
Exactly.
I think over, what, 60% of all black people in America live in the South?
Everybody that came up in North and the Great Migration came from the South.
Yeah.
You know, we started in Virginia. We built this country. So for you to tell me, oh, because the people in my books have accents that we're not black enough, it's like, all right, well, you come down my neck of the woods and see what you think. Now, that's not a threat. I'm just saying.
That sounds like, what's that song, Catch You in a Small Town?
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like to me.
They can try it.
Now, All the Sinners Bleed, about a black sheriff trying to catch a serial killer. Razorblade Tears, 2 ex-cons seeking revenge for the murder of their gay sons. Do you start with developing the mystery or the social commentary?
I actually start with the characters. I mean, okay. Like, I think the plots, there's only a couple plots you can do. You know, it's not that... You're not reinventing the wheel here. It's always about the characters and what their story is, you know. I'm not the most original writer, but I think I'm a pretty good elaborator, so.
Are they all linked?
No, not. Well, they're all, like, in the sort of S.A. Cosby shared universe.
Got you.
But you don't have to read any of them in the order. You can read them in any time you want. Although people from some books make appearances in others, and I like putting those Easter eggs in there. And so it's funny, though, because you'll have a reader that will, like, find that character. I'm like, what were you thinking when you wrote that? I'm like, I wrote that book a year ago, man. Like, I appreciate you buying it.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I don't know what to tell you about that.
When you're laying in the bed with no pants on, do you ever start to... Does it freak you out that you have to start thinking like a serial killer? Do you ever think, damn, I'd be good at this?
You know, I really don't think like a serial killer. Mm-hmm. I sort of like I had a conversation with Dennis Lehane a couple years ago. It was like one of my writing idols. And he was talking about how difficult it is for him to write really dark stuff. And I don't know if it's something wrong with him or something wrong with me, because it don't bother me. Like, I'll chop some people up in a wood chipper and then go play my cat. It doesn't faze me. So.
In the book, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, in the book. Can't they go? Yeah. I mean, when it stops, sometimes you got to handle stuff by yourself.
Now, you know, we've worked together along with Kevin Hart on the Audible original Broke Down Prophets.
Yes.
Yeah, the novel is performed by a full cast instead of a single narrator. When you are writing for an audio production, are you directing it in your head as you write?
It's so funny because I'd never written a script or anything like that before. Mm-hmm. So when y'all guys approached me about it, I was like, all right, I mean, I'll do it. I'll try it and see what happens. And I downloaded a whole bunch of like screenwriting apps and books and stuff like that. But what happened was, it became really, for me, it was a lot, almost easier than writing a novel. Because you write a novel, you have to describe everything. You have to do the internal monologue, all that kind of stuff. Like, and I'm not really good at some things, like describing spaces in a novel. So, like, if you built a house based on the way I describe in a novel, it'd be like 70 feet long and 12 feet wide. So, like, I got around that doing all dialogue. And it was really fun. It was an incredible experience for me and really an honor to work with you guys.
We like working with you, too. You say tragic and toxic masculinity runs through your work intentionally. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm aware of toxic masculinity, but what do you mean by tragic?
I think tragic masculinity is the idea that you can change, you can be better, you can communicate, you can be honest with your feelings, but it's just outside of your reach. And it's the idea that you want it. I think when you have somebody who's imbued with toxic masculinity, they're not thinking that way. Mm. They're not doing any kind of self-analysis. But my characters, I call it tragic masculinity, because they do think about the mistakes they made, the regrets, the recriminations that they've been through. So for me, it's almost an optimistic way of looking at a very difficult subject.
Mm. You love the South like I love the South, but you say it's a microcosm for what's wrong with the nation.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to write a thriller about the political state we're in, what would you call it?
Ain't this some shit?
All the Sin and Bleed and Broke Down Prophets are available now. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after this.
Thank you. Appreciate it, bro.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we go, please consider supporting the Acoma Project. They are a nonprofit dedicated to mental health empowerment, research, and advocacy for youth and young adults of color. If you can support them, please donate at the link below.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.